What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in. Lineup Logic Podcast, daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming. I'm Sean Kane. I'm your host. We got an NBA slate Wednesday to break down. Coming at you here, it is a 10-gamer? It's a big one. It's a big one here. So we're going to have plenty to talk about. Before I do that, got to say thank you, patrons, patreon.com. That's what makes this show possible, guys. If you haven't signed up, you know, think about it. Please do. It really does help the show for as little as $3 a month. I'm not kidding when I say you can post $3 a month and help the show. That's our sole source of income. So please head over to patreon.com. If you want to get involved in the cheat sheet, that's $10 a month. Very cheap, very cheap. You know, just to show your support for the programming here. And I really appreciate that quite a bit. Also want to talk to you guys quickly about Harry's Razors. Of course, sponsor the show, harrys.com/lineup. That is where you need to go. You go over there, you sign up. They're going to send you a free trial for Harry's Razors, which, guys, I'm telling you, this is the easiest way to get your razors. If you're like me, you really don't want to have to leave your house and go to Walmart or CVS just to buy stupid stuff that you know should be able to arrive on your doorstep and be useful instantly and be cheaper. I've been a Harry's guy for 5 years, at least. I mean, I can't remember when I didn't have a Harry's razor. High-quality blades, high-quality handle, great prices, great shaving cream. Comes right to your door. You always have it. So harrys.com/lineup. Get over there, free trial. You can test it out. It's a $13 value. And they've got holiday specials going on as well. So jump right in there. I mean, it's like the easiest gift. That is the easiest gift. Harrys.com for your brother-in-law, for the guy at the office, or, you know, the guy, I don't know, your brother-in-law. Like, it's the perfect brother-in-law gift. Can we all agree to that? It's like, what the fuck do I get my brother-in-law? Yeah, get him that. All right, anyway, let's go ahead and jump into the Vegas breakdown and take a look at what Vegas has to say tonight about the NBA slate. All right, first game of the night in the Garden at 7:30 here. Utah Jazz coming to visit the New York Knicks. 202 total in this one. Knicks favored by 4. They are implied for 103 points at home tonight and also getting 78% of spread bets. I really do agree. This total's dropped, but really do agree. I think the Jazz are really going to struggle without Gobert. We've seen this offense just kind of fall flat on its face. Because if you don't have a defensive identity that keeps you in every single game because you have Rudy Gobert, who's literally the best defensive backline player in the NBA, you're going to struggle to stay in games when you can't score. And part of the reason that they're able to stay in games is because they're able to soak up every rebound and contest a whole lot of shots near the rim with Gobert. It's just not the case. So I think they're going to struggle. They may find an identity at some point, but I do think New York has this one pretty easily. We'll talk a little bit about some plays from that game. Washington at Miami, 211 total here. Divisional matchup. This total has jumped up a point and a half. Miami favored now just by 1. It opened at 1.5, and the Wizards, the line is moving towards the Wizards, and 67% of spread bets are on the Wizards. And then, you know, money's on the over as well, which I kind of agree with. I think this is going to be a tight game. I think these two teams know each other well. You have the personnel that matches up pretty well here to see, you know, to take advantage of each other's flaws. You know, the Miami backcourt defense, not the best. You know, they have the front court players to try and challenge at Washington. So I think this is a good game. This is kind of not a must win, but a kind of, you know, an identity, a plant your flag in the Eastern Conference for both of these teams. This is certainly going to be a tightly contested. Sacramento versus Atlanta, 204 total in this one. Atlanta favored by 4.5. That says a lot about how bad Sacramento is. And that spread is moving towards them. It opened at 3.5. It's moving towards them. And I kind of agree. They just have more talent on that side of the ball. Certainly a good spot for some of these Atlanta, Atlanta bigs. You got to keep our eye on injuries. Ersan Ilyasova said he was considering playing, which kind of limits some of the value that we may have seen opening up in this one with Luke Babbitt and John Collins, which, you know, would be really, really nice. However, I do think we can still go to a pretty inexpensive center in Dwayne Dedmon as a possible matchup value there. So definitely, definitely a possibility that we could see some good value from the front court in Atlanta. Bulls at Oklahoma City, rematch. We just saw this game and Oklahoma City just absolutely annihilated them. It's 12.5-point spread. It opened at 12. It's moving towards the Thunder to 201 total. They are implied for 107 points to the Bulls, 94. You've got Justin Holiday out for the Bulls here. He is, celebrating the birth of his first child. So good for him. It's a good reason to miss a game where you're probably going to lose by double digits. You know what, man? We're not going to win in Oklahoma City. Just, you know, stay with the kid. Lauri Markkanen working on an ankle, but he's probable here. And, you know, we did see the return of Bobby Portis. He's someone to keep an eye on. He has had a massive usage rate in his return, but his minutes have kind of been up and down. Chris Dunn, I believe, will start for the Bulls at the two with Justin Holiday out. So you'd like to say that he's a really good value, but he's already 6K. He's kind of almost the exact same price as Holiday. So it's kind of like, oh, okay. The one guy that may get more minutes as a result is Denzel Valentine. We'll see. I don't know how much I like them here on the road against a high-quality Oklahoma City defense. Keeping an eye on the Oklahoma injuries here, we have Steven Adams likely out with a calf strain, and Carmelo's dealing with a back. I gotta think that I'm hopeful that Carmelo sits. If Carmelo sits, then Paul George and Russ become a lot more interesting, and I'll talk a little bit more about Russ in the show. Pacers versus Grizzlies, 204 total in this one. It opened at 209. It has dropped precipitously. This total has just gone through the floor, which is really interesting, and it's moving towards Indiana. People really prefer Indiana in this one, which I'm not really sure why, but some sharp money on that for sure, because it's not necessarily the majority of tickets are on Memphis, but there must be a lot of really, really sharp money on the under. Yeah, there's a lot of sharp money. Excuse me. There's a lot of sharp money on Indiana right now, which is very, very interesting to me. I guess maybe this has to do with the Mike Conley injury. Mike Conley nursing a sore Achilles and is questionable for today. So that's the big injury there. Jermichael Green possibly coming back off that ankle injury that he suffered in the first game. So that'll be interesting. On the Indiana side, nothing relevant that we need to be worried about in the injury department. Toronto at New Orleans, 219 total here. This jumped from 217 to 219, and New Orleans is favored by 3. You know, this is an interesting spot, no doubt about it. You got to really be interested in the Pels in this one. But I think people think that Toronto, after that win last night in Houston, they can cover this game against the Pels. They beat them earlier in Toronto. But Toronto coming off the back-to-back and a game where they really, 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 threw their all out there. Norman Powell is the one injured Raptor that we are keeping an eye on. He has a hip pointer, and I don't know if he traveled with the team. But we will see. He was out last night. We saw the minutes for CJ Miles and OG Anunoby go right up through the ceiling there with Norm on the sideline. And, you know, Anunoby did a nice job against Harden. Now, he threw every single foul that he had at him, and they sent him to the line. But they were able, I think, to limit what the Rockets wanted to do on the three-point line. And that was really why they were able to win that game. So You gotta like the wings in Toronto here. You know, this matchup for the Pelicans has has been one that we're targeting all year. But I think this will be a competitive high-scoring game, one of the higher totals on the slate. In fact, second highest total on the slate here. No doubt it should be interesting. Detroit at Milwaukee, 207 total in this one. Opened at 208. It's dropping a little bit, just a touch here. Total moving towards Milwaukee in favor of them. Giannis at home. You got to like Giannis at home, and that must be what people are seeing here. We just saw this game, however, and Giannis, he had a decent game. You know, he had a 50-pointer, but the problem you have here in this situation for Giannis is the rebounding upside. Terrible rebounding team in Milwaukee as it is. Excellent rebounding team in Detroit. One of the best backline rebounders in Andre Drummond. There's just not a lot of free rebounds in the paint. There's not a lot of free space down there for him to work. So you kind of wonder what his ceiling is at over 12K on both sides. Spurs at Timberwolves, 207 total here, and this one is dropping. Wolves favored by 5.5, moving towards them, probably because we've seen the Spurs come off a back-to-back where their starters played a lot of minutes. Pop is probably going to rest these guys. He's not going to play guys more than 26 minutes on a back-to-back, 28 minutes on a back-to-back. We saw a game of his life last night from Patty Mills, but they are, you know, coming out of Texas and flying all the way to Minnesota on this back-to-back. So really, really not ideal. I mean, teams like Toronto, too, flying from Toronto to New Orleans for a back-to-back. That's just craziness. You know, super aggressive schedule there, no doubt about it. But, you know, those two teams, you got to wonder about how effective they're going to be coming off of, you know, games where they played competitive full minutes for all their starters. That's my concern with the Spurs, especially with the Pop rest factor. So I do agree. I think Minnesota takes this one. And we'll talk a little bit about some assets in Minnesota that might be interesting. Cavaliers versus the Hornets. You know, this one opened, this one's completely flip-flopped. This opened as, you know, the Hornets were favored in this one. Vegas said the Hornets were favored and everybody hammered the Cavs. That's a smart bet. I mean, it really is. It's a smart bet to just say, listen, it's LeBron James. He's the best player on the floor. If you're a dog, a road dog, bet on LeBron James, especially in a tight game. So, I don't know, though. I mean, I think Charlotte's the kind of team that can slow people down. We've seen LeBron struggle in Charlotte before. They just are obnoxiously effective. They rebound the hell out of the ball. They get to the free throw line. They control what they can control. They don't turn the ball over. All that kind of stuff that they do extremely, extremely well in order to limit what another team's ceiling is. So this total has jumped 219 points, but I think you really got to like, Kemba in this spot. He's a guy that we will talk about. The whole industry's talking about it, so it's not necessarily sharp, but it's you know, it's an interesting spot to see them swing there. You know, that line movement to me doesn't really tell me anything except for maybe I should have more line. By the way, it doesn't really show me anything except for maybe have more interest in Bron. That's it. Public trusts him. You know, competitive game. That's what I really see from that line movement. Competitive high-scoring game. That's what I'll read into it. Orlando in Portland, 210 total in this one. This one opened at 212. It's dropping. Probably Portland's defense. They're favored by 5 here at home in the Motor Center. You know, injury-wise, Elfrid Payton, we're still looking at that Elfrid Payton injury. We got to see what the story is with the Elfrid Payton injury. If he's going to play, he's been really ineffective recently, and you have no, you have also DJ Augustine out. So Shelvin Mack, we could find out later today that Shelvin Mack is going to be, the starter here, you know. Now, no reports on Payton. He's not on the injury report. They haven't said anything about him. He's played in the last couple games. He just hasn't been very useful. So you got to feel comfortable going to Damian Lillard in this one and attacking him on that side of the ball. On the Portland side, you know, we are looking at a really good rebounding team, but not no Al-Farouq Aminu out there. So we are going to see, of course, the combination of Noah Vonleh, Ed Davis, you know, that kind of tilting, strange front court combination. They each get about 20 minutes, where you probably also get 20 minutes of, you know, Evan Turner's been getting about 30, but then Harkless gets about 20 as well there in that front court. So an interesting spot. I You know, it seems like a really interesting game, but I don't really love it. I don't really love it. It's been hard to project the Magic because they came out shooting so well, and now they're not shooting as well. And it's been hard to project teams against the Magic because we don't really know, from a matchup perspective, where their weaknesses really are. In a DVP, it's the power forward, but their center matchup has been excellent. And it's not necessarily Aaron Gordon or Vooch. You know, this isn't necessarily a bad rebounding team or a bad team in the front court. It's just really hard to understand what the weakness is of this team. And I think we just need a larger sample size to understand how you attack Orlando. Now, that said, you know you can attack a banged up Elfrid Payton. And I think part of the reason that you like, I mean, part of the reason you go to Orlando here is because, excuse me, they have not been a good rebounding team. They've been fine on the defensive side, but not a very good offensive rebounding team. Portland, a phenomenal rebounding team. So you can attack their best rebounders here in this spot. From a scoring perspective, I don't really know how to attack them in the front court. I guess that's kind of what I'm thinking. Portland is definitely not someone that I'm going to attack in the front court. They're not really allowing a lot of scoring down there, a lot of big bodies. Orlando definitely down there. I mean, you could definitely go to Nurk. I was just pulling up some data on their front court scoring, what they've allowed. And it's actually, it's been pretty solid. I mean, you could look at it, Nurkic, as a, you know, kind of a contrarian option here, I think. Anyway, all right, that's enough about that game. Game of the night, 76ers at the Lakers, 221 total. Youth is in the building here. This opened 76ers minus 2.5. They were 2-point road favorites. Man, how far have they come? This is something pretty special. And they're now favored by 3. Makes sense. You know, if you get Simmons and Embiid on the court, boy, these guys are tough. This is insane. This is an insanely high ceiling for this team going forward if they can continue to stay healthy. So 221 total, highest total on the slate. It's gone up by 1.5. You got to be interested in that game. We'll certainly talk a little bit about it as we go into it. All right, that is it for Vegas. Let's go ahead and jump into the player breakdown, figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right, so you guys know how we're going to do this. We're going to start at the top of the slate here with our studs, high-priced options, where you want to try to fit some of these guys into your lineup. You know, we have a lot of, you know, it's kind of lopsided. I go positionally with the guys at I go with the FanDuel positions because on DraftKings, the reason I do that is just on DraftKings, you have flexibility. I know that they have multi-position eligibility there. So that's worthwhile to just kind of stay on the FanDuel side of things. At point guard, Damian Lillard versus Orlando. He is probably my favorite stud point guard if you want to pay up. 95 on FanDuel, 89 on DraftKings. Kind of a nice price drop there on DraftKings. Not too bad. 29% usage facing a team that ranks 23rd in DVP. You get the hobbled combination of maybe Shelvin Mack, Elfrid Payton with the hamstring. He's not going to be able to go hard. He's not a very good point guard defender as it is. And I think Lillard, you know, he hasn't shot very well. I mean, he's below 30% from the arc, and that's not good, but that's the kind of thing that you're going to see regress every once in a while. He gets that up to 33, 35, 38%. Well, closer to those career numbers, that's good stuff. And you want volume for Lillard. I mean, Orlando, and then this is the good thing. Orlando, no one allows more point guard shot attempts than Orlando. They're going to let the point guard shoot the ball. They're allowing an average of 24, 6, and 8 to the position, 22 attempts per game. Listen, 3 games this year where Dame Lillard put up 20 shots, he scored 25 points, 33 points, and 36 points. He hit his ceiling. When he can score, that's where his ceiling comes in. He's not a peripherals guy. He is a buckets guy. And when you score, he's like DeRozan, you know, it's like a pure scorer. When that guy can score over 30 points, that's a situation you want to consider him in. This certainly, you know, it doesn't equal efficiency, but the volume can lead to just straight counting stats for Lillard in this one. And I think it could be a nice spot for him, no doubt about it. I also really like Russ. I mean, anytime Russ is below 11K, you have to consider him. He's 10-3, 10-8 on DK. Certainly a better value on FanDuel, I think. No team allows a higher assisted field goal rate than the Bulls. They allow a league high 16 assists to the point guard. They haven't allowed a lot of scoring. They don't allow a lot of scoring to the point guard or the backcourt. But you're missing Holiday. You're going to have, these guys running extra minutes. They're on the road. They're ranked 20th in DVP. And Russ, he had 51 here last time in just 28 minutes. And the reason is he had 13 assists. He had 13 assists. And, that is because they allow guys. I mean, it's clear that they collapse on point guards and they will allow shooters. So you definitely like that possibility for him to rack up the double-digit assists. You like the possibly no Steven Adams. Maybe they play a little bit more of a stretch five situation, not a traditional center. There's a little bit more of a small ball lineup because you're not really that scared of Robin Lopez. And if Carmelo's out, then, we're going to need more scoring and maybe he gets over 28 minutes. The part of the thing though, is that Carmelo in this last game, by the way, against Chicago, shot the lights out, and it was the Russ assists. Those, spot up shots for Carmelo right where he wants to be, corner three type thing. So you have to kind of like Paul George as a correlation play for Russ as well in this situation, just feeding him. I mean, he's been drilling threes, just straight drilling them, which is why his price has gone up so much, which is perfect. I mean, this is a perfect role for Paul George and Carmelo to get those, corner three-point shooters, which is if this team takes off, it's because Russell Wilson is a threat in the middle, and they've surrounded him with shooters. I mean, he is the point guard LeBron, and he is just kicking it. And that's how this team should be designed, and I think is designed. Shooting guard, DeMar DeRozan. We don't have a lot of high-priced shooting guards tonight, so let's talk about DeMar DeRozan versus New Orleans. He's 7,700, 76 on DK. No one has a better matchup than DeRozan, okay? I mean, this is a phenomenal matchup here on this slate. For DeRozan here, he just had this game. He blew up. The one thing that I don't like, I love the price. He dropped $400 from last night's slate, which is great on FanDuel. Had 40 last night. Just a free throw machine. The dude just knows how to get to the line and take advantage of undisciplined players. He gets calls. He goes to the line. He shoots a high percentage. It's phenomenal. It's free fantasy points. And he's going to get you a nice floor with those. The problem is that floor is about 25 points because he doesn't have any peripherals, right? This isn't a guy who's going to go in there and get his hands dirty and rebound. And, they have Kyle Lowry dishing assists. It's not really that. So he's a scorer. He's a bucket getter, high usage guy. The problem that I have, as I mentioned, back-to-back. Last year, on the back-to-back, DeRozan really did struggle. I mean, he only averaged 34 fantasy points on the back-to-back. That was a bad situation for him. He took fewer shots. He made fewer shots. He got fewer rebounds. He got fewer assists. He got to the free throw line less. In a game last night, he played the same number of minutes. But in a game last night where he went all out and they beat the Rockets, it was a great win for them. Just kind of confidence booster, which, I write off the Raptors every single time I get a chance to write off the Raptors. He took a ton of shots. You got to wonder if he's tired legs coming off the plane tonight, which is just insane. Toronto to New Orleans is like, what, a 4 or 5 hour flight? They got to literally get on the plane after and then, sleep on the plane, sleep in the hotel. That's just not ideal for, I don't know how much, but, it's a perfect matchup. And he just smashed them in his last game. So, highest usage player, they kind of want to maybe continue the momentum. I do like Brad Beal, similar price. I think he's an interesting option versus Miami, 7,500, 72 on DK. Waiters is bad. I mean, that's it. Waiters is going to let you score. Devin Booker went off on him. If you want attempts for Beal, the volume matters too. It's kind of like a Lillard thing. Games where he gets up shots, he's going to score. And Miami allows 29 attempts per game, 19 attempts per game, and we've seen some shooting guards absolutely blow up this spot. You know, the nice thing about Beal is he has a very clear floor. His role in this offense cannot be understated, and he, you know, is right there in usage with John Wall as far as scoring. He's getting at least one steal. Recently, he's actually been adding some assists too, which is really nice. I mean, 5, 6, 7 assists in a couple of his last 5 games. So I like that a lot about him. Like I said, this is a tough game, and Scott Brooks will let him play 38 minutes. You know, if this game stays close, Scott Brooks, is he's not in foul trouble, Scott Brooks will let Brad Beal stay on the court. They, you know, first of all, Washington really can't afford to lose too many more games getting out of November here. They need to be on the right side of 500 through, you know, 2017 from a playoff perspective. And, you know, I think that you could see Bradley Beal become a focal point of the offense if he draws Deion Waiters in this matchup, who is by far the weakest link as an individual defender. I mean, Whiteside's bad, but you're not going to really, who cares about Gortat? You know, Gortat doesn't necessarily have the ceiling that Beal does. Don't be offended. I know that there's the Slack chat was blowing up Gortat the other night against Sacramento. Loves us some Gortat. Giannis versus Detroit. Let's talk small forwards here. 12-2 on FanDuel, 11-3 on DK. I like that price on DK. I gotta be honest with you. I don't mind that price at all. Over 55 points, that's fine. Dude played 43 minutes in his last game, 40 in the game before that. That's insane. If he's going to play 40 minutes, you almost have to play him. I mean, there's nobody else in the NBA that plays that many minutes. There's nobody's that's this good. Who plays 40 minutes? Nobody. Not even freaking Jimmy Butler. On the Tom Thibodeau's looking at his minutes going, well, that's a lot of minutes for that kid, but I like it. I like it. That's a good strategy. You get your guys out there, you give them a lot of run, let them get a rhythm. That's what we want to do. Detroit, though, he went out there, okay, and he played Detroit a week ago. 27 attempts. That's beautiful. 27 attempts is amazing. I love the volume. He scored 29 points. Oh, wow, great. He must have had a great game. No, he only had 50 fantasy points. Why? He had 3 rebounds, or 4 rebounds and 3 assists. If he's not going to get those extra peripherals against this team, that's going to limit his ceiling. If you look back at where he had 3 blocks in this game. If you look back, the insanity of 60-plus point performances is the fact that you have tons of peripherals in addition to a ton of scoring. 29 points is one of his season highs in scoring, okay? But if he's only going to get a couple rebounds because of Drummond and because this team is very, very good at limiting the rebounds and the points in the paint, and he has to take 27 attempts, if you have to take 27 attempts to score 30 points, that's a lot. That's a lot of attempts. It's not exactly an efficient performance. I don't know. I like him. And he's scoring more, he's got more minutes. You can't ignore that. The issue is really, I mean, how often is he going to be able to play 40 minutes a night? If you could really project him for 40 minutes every single time, maybe, but, you know, I don't know. I think there's reason to think about LeBron as well, absolutely. 11-3 on FanDuel, 10-9 on DK. I don't love this spot, though. I do like the line movement, and I don't mind the matchup with Marvin Williams. I mean, LeBron's been playing out of his mind lately, but this is a disciplined team. It's a good rebounding team. They don't turn it over. They don't give you free throws. You know, they're at home. They've been able to limit LeBron in the past. They have good team defense. They have a lot of length, a lot of size in the mid. You know, I don't know. The problem... The issue that I have is the same issue that I have with Giannis. Well, excuse me, the plus is the same plus that you have with Giannis. This is going to be a pretty tight game. And in a tight game, LeBron could literally, he could play 40 minutes. He could have to play 40 minutes, no doubt about it. He's had some up and down performances in Charlotte, but like you're asking him to get you 56 points. And I don't think that that's that crazy in 40 minutes for LeBron. It's certainly not. I mean, he's done it. But it's kind of crazy against a team that is Very solid, you know, literally the most rebounds per game. One of the best rebound rates in the league. You know, a pretty slow-paced team, a solid defensive team. We've seen them limit studs. They're capable of limiting stud performances. I don't know. I mean, we saw Giannis. They limited Giannis, right? So if he gets up the three, I think that's where his ceiling comes in Charlotte, because, you know, they're not going to close out. They're going to protect the paint. That will allow him to shoot some threes. If he gets the three going, then you really have something for him here. But this kind of feels like a tough spot to love him. Now, this is not tough to love my man Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons and Ben Simmons on DraftKings is almost a lock at 9,100. I mean, especially you have the possibility. You don't have 3-point bonus, but you have the possibility for double-double, triple-double bonuses here. And that's just, you got to. You got to. With a guy who does all of this stuff, 9,800 on FanDuel, he's on the national stage, man, versus the Lakers, a young team. The young buck, he want to show out against the Lake Show here in L.A. It's going to be a big one. They allow plenty of production as well. 23, 7, and 8. That's a perfect line for Ben Simmons. Give me all that. And he's been getting 36 minutes. You love the pace differential. You love the total. I love this spot for Ben Simmons. I mean, we've seen him put up 50 points against Utah. Now Embiid was out, but only thing Embiid does for him is Embiid keeps his assist rate up. You know, that's it for me. I mean, I think, you know, you have a little bit less on the rebound side, but you have the pace here. You have the possibility for steals, turnovers, blocks, all that good stuff. So nobody can guard Ben Simmons on that team. Who's going to guard Ben Simmons? Kuzma? I mean, right? He's the only one physically similar. Not going to be Ingram. Simmons is just knock Ingram down. Maybe KCP. That's fine, but Simmons is so good at slicing through the lane and being, you know, aggressive and simple with the ball. Like, it's awesome. He's really fun to watch. KP versus Utah. This one is sneaky deluxe. Sneaky, sneaky. 9,300 on FanDuel, 8,900 on DraftKings. Again, this is sneaky because I think the name value of Utah is, this defense is really good. I don't want to go. They are good. They are good. But they've just lost the best defender in the league. Okay, Rudy Gobert is the best defender, and if you change your complete and total defensive identity by not having the best backline defender in the league, in the game, you have a problem. And they struggled with Taj Gibson, and they struggled with Cat. You know, their first game really without Rudy, completely without Rudy, they both double-double. I mean, Taj went for 10-10, and Cat went for 24-13. Clearly, you can attack the front court when you don't have... And Derek Favors is fine, but Derek Favors is old. Derek Favors can't guard Kristaps Porzingis, and he won't guard Kristaps Porzingis. It's probably going to be Cephalosha. Cephalosha's 6'7". Kristaps is 7'1". Now, Cephalosha is good. Cephalosha is a very solid defender. He'll be able to keep his feet in front of him, no doubt about it. But I just think this is kind of a sneaky spot for Kristaps at home. You don't like the pace. I don't like the pace, and I don't love the price. I would really love it if, I mean, 8,900 on DraftKings is fine. I would love if it was like a 87. An 87 might be like, ooh, that's just too cheap. It's too cheap for 30% usage right there. All right, center. Joel Embiid, you might have heard of this clown, 9,700. Why are you 8,600 on DraftKings? That's just stupid. It's just stupid. Pace up, highest total of the week, or of the night. National stage, Embiid's been getting over 30 minutes. I mean, the man cannot be stopped. Now, the one thing that's very interesting to me, I was doing some, you know, random NBA research last night, and I was looking at the hustle stats for the... For the league, and Brolo has actually been really, really good at closing out on shots. Problem is that I just don't think he has the athleticism to stay on the court with Embiid the whole time. And we saw, I mean, even DeAndre Jordan, who's a great defensive center, struggle with him. He put up 32 points on that front court, and that's just bananas. I mean, DeAndre Jordan is the same size. I mean, DeAndre Jordan was Embiid before Embiid was Embiid from a physical perspective. He's not even close to the offensive talent, but you know what I'm saying, like that huge guy who can really move his feet. you know, and the Lakers do this thing where they try to go small with Randle at the five. You can't. I don't think you can. I mean, against Embiid, good God, if he gets Randle, it's over. So anytime the man gets more than 30 minutes, by the way, he has smashed over 47 fantasy points. The Warriors were the toughest spot he's seen all season. Draymond, that's a torture chamber for Embiid. He's not going to let you do anything. The rest of that defense is going to say, listen, you can't. I'm not even going to let you get the ball. And we're just going to score, and we're going to turn you over, and we're just going to blow you out of the gym by the end of, by the middle of the third quarter. So that's what happened there. I mean, that was his worst game, but this pace differential, everything. You got to love it. The rebounding upside is what you want for Embiid. I mean, when he really pops, it's because he's got double-digit rebounds. Lakers are a decent rebounding team. That they're not bad, but the pace is really what I like here. Pace differential is really good for all of the Sixers, specifically Bob Cove. You know, Bob Cove, Simmons and Embiid are the guys, and Redick too actually has a nice metrics when it comes to pace differential. So you gotta like this spot for them. All right, moving on to the grout, mid price guys, anywhere below 8K, that's where we're looking here. 8K to 6K kind of range, 8K to 5K, somewhere in there. You get the idea. Come on, don't be picky. Kemba, 7,800 FanDuel, 74 on DraftKings. This is the worst defense in the league. Massive production to the backcourt. Kemba's the highest usage player, the highest scorer on the Hornets. He's at home. We love him at home. He's a divisional matchup. You gotta like that. Do I want him? What I want from Kemba is this: him to go to the free throw line. You look at his scores. You look at the way he trends. When he gets to that 40-point mark, which is elusive for him, that's because he's gotten to the free throw line almost double digits. Okay, over 5, 6, 7 free throws for Kemba is where you want him to be. That's directly correlated with his scaling. It's free points. A lot of guys have that, right? Harden has that. DeRozan has that. A lot of guys have that. Cleveland averaging only 5 3-point per free throws per game to the point guard. They're not exactly an undisciplined team. Fine. It's an average situation from there, but they're not like an overly disciplined team like Charlotte is. But the one thing they are allowing is a massive number of assists, 11 plus per game. So that's really, really nice. Massive assisted field goal rate for your point guard. You got to love that. He's going to be handling the ball a lot. He can create a couple extra assists. That's what you like to see too for your point guard. Speaking of assists, El Ricky Rubio set. I know, listen, guys, he's been terrible. He's in a slump. He's not dead, you know? Dude is not dead. It's not over. He also looks a lot like Josh Fernandez, which is one reason that you might be interested in playing him. So, you know, I mean, come on now. Rubio, 7K, 6,700 on DK. He shot 14% in the Minnesota game. 14% from the field, made one field goal. He made zero shots in the Miami game. They pulled him and let Donovan Mitchell run the point because they were out of that Minnesota game basically before it started. But listen, it's a lot like Kemba. Kemba's matchup. New York allows massive efficiency differential here. And they allow massive number of assists. There's only so many matchups on the board where point guards can just get tons of assisted field goals. This is one of them. The Knicks do. It's because the Knicks crash the paint. They crash the glass. They have a lot of really good front court players. They allow scoring on the perimeter. They're not a perimeter team. They're a front court team. And anytime you have a guy coming towards the paint, they're going to protect that paint. They're going to allow assisted field goals. So in that sense, you have to like Rubio. He can score 40 fantasy points, and he's only 7K. The issue is he's been slumping. And the question you have to ask yourself is that slump mental? Is it going to continue? Is he not going to shoot the ball? Or is the slump going to be something that he breaks out of here? Listen, last year in the Garden, he had two games. One game, he had 23 points. Ooh. One game, he had 62 fantasy points. I'm not kidding. The Garden can do that to some people, you know? Maybe this is a nice night for Rubes to get back on track. He gets out of the rematch city there in Minnesota, and he comes out, shows up at the Garden, blows it up. I don't know. It's GPP type situation for me. Andrew Wiggins at shooting guard. He's 6,200. These aren't in really price order, by the way. Sorry. 62 on FanDuel. That's cheap. 67 on DraftKings. Not my favorite. He gets the Spurs, but you know what? People aren't going to play him here, and they're going to let you shoot the three. Now, Danny Green is back. And actually, Danny Green may even have a better matchup against Wiggins than Wiggins has there. But they've allowed scoring on the wings. We saw even Harrison Barnes had a nice game last night, which kind of makes me interested in Jimmy. Back-to-back, all that kind of stuff, right? But he hasn't scored less than 28 fantasy points in the entire month of November, you know? He's consistently getting 36 minutes, 34 minutes. You know, against tough defenses, this guy even has, you know, he's done it. And you get the minutes, you get the shot attempts, he creates a floor. He doesn't have a lot of peripheral upside, so you don't really worry about that. But they do allow scoring on the perimeter in San Antonio. I think it's interesting. I don't know. I don't like the limited pace. That's the one thing I don't like. But I do like that San Antonio coming off the back-to-back. We know the starters are going to play lots of minutes. We saw him score a lot in that Utah game, and Utah is limited pace too. So it's an interesting spot. Tyreek the Freak, Evans, man. I mean, this guy's just a scoring machine. $6,800, 66 on DraftKings. DraftKings is a phenomenal value because he shoots a three. He's scoring buckets, and the Pacers are like a pretty average matchup, but they get a pace bump. Memphis gets a pace bump. They have a high total here. If Conley sits with the Achilles, you really have to like him here. He's getting 30-plus minutes, 26% usage. He is the entire second unit offense when there's no one else out there. Boom. Plus five pace. He's just shooting an incredibly efficient rate. I mean, almost 50% from the field, which that's not going to continue. But the problem, you know, the issue is that, okay, fine, that's the difference between, you know, three buckets a game. So fine, if he goes from, you know, 22 points, 24 points down to 18 points, you're not really hurting his value here. And you're asking him at 6,800, you're only asking him for over 30 points, something he's done with a lot of consistency, especially at the minutes that he's been getting. You know, he gets the steals, he gets five rebounds, he's got three assists, he's been very consistent in the peripherals department. You know what you're going to get there, 20-plus points plus those, you love that. And every once in a while, he pops. You know, that's what you're good. That's good. And Indiana in general, not a particularly good defense. I mean, they're 24th in overall defensive efficiency, so you have to like this spot for this game to be high scoring. And I'm trying to remember, is this one of the games that was going over, or was it going under? Oh, geez. Oh, so I have multiple windows open on my computer at all times, pretty much. But I always have one fantasy basketball window and one fantasy football window. And now I'm in my football window, and it's just throwing me off everywhere. I'm trying to figure out if this was the... Oh, God. It's all going wrong. You guys, I wish you were here to help me. I'm sorry. All right, evacuate. I'm not trying to find this information anymore. I'm just going to keep talking. I'm not sure if this total was going up. I can't remember. Donovan Mitchell. I mean, he's pretty much... Talk about the offense. No one's taking more shots on the Jazz than him. I mean, he's got the highest race usage rate on the team. He scored 20 in two of his recent games. You got to like that. He went for over 34 minutes twice in the last three games. I mean, he really... I mean, they're beginning to lean on this kid because he can create buckets. You know, it's not a perfect matchup, but, you know, because New York doesn't allow a ton of scoring in the paint, but they really don't have any other choice. This kid is the only person who really can create his own shot on this team. I mean, Jingle Bear has been in a bad spot. Rubio has been struggling. Is this the game where they get it all back on track? Maybe, but, you know, when you're starting Thabo Sefolosha for offense, that's bad. That's hashtag not good, because Thabo Sefolosha is not a good offensive player. So Don Mitchell is very interesting. The problem is he's really not priced very well. I mean, 6'1 is not that great of a price for a guy who's on a slow-paced team, who might lose minutes, who might lose usage to a number of other guys, because we've only seen his role be like that, you know, a couple times. So that kind of, you know, not my favorite, you know, especially at the low total here. Not my favorite, but man, 25% usage rate, that's just as good as Bradley Beal. I mean, this kid, 0.94 fantasy points per minute, that's like you know, CJ McCollum numbers, and CJ McCollum's playing really badly right now. But yeah, I think there's something to like here, no doubt about it. All right, moving on to Jerian Grant, by the way, 6,100 on FanDuel. Chris Dunn, not Jerian Grant. Chris Dunn, 6,100 on FanDuel, 4,900 on DK. He's going to be a lock on DK for a lot of people starting. You know, FanDuel has been much quicker to react to the, you know, inactives, and knowing that there's going to be an inactive, they will price up a guy so that he's not just sitting there dead. They react to the pricing a little bit more manually. So Chris Dunn, definitely a good value on DK, but you know, the matchup with OKC is bad. You just have to trust the minutes here. The kid is going to get a ton of minutes, scored about 30 fantasy points in the last couple games. You know, he played in the OKC game and had 25 fantasy points. So price is steadily on the rise. This is the highest price he's been all season on FanDuel. But I think his role is very secure. There was talk about Hoiberg saying that he wanted to. I mean, he's just crushing value on DK, by the way, guys. He's just straight crushing value. You know, even in kind of mediocre matchups, he's been crushing. So you got to like him over there, no doubt about it. But there are some more value options. Add small forward. Small forward is thin. Okay, small forward is thin. It's not my favorite, okay? It's not my favorite today, but I think you got to love Bob Cove in a pace-up situation, high total game, potential for fast break points, all that kind of stuff. Bob Covington, always a guy that I'm looking for who I trust to get me peripherals, to get me scoring. The one thing that you don't like about Bob Covington's matchup tonight is the fact that he is overpriced. I don't like his price. I like his price on DraftKings. 6,300 is fine. 6,800 on FanDuel is not a great price for him because he does like have a 25-point floor. Now, he only has that floor in situations where he's not really asked to score, and he has been more aggressive scoring, but his price is up because he's just drilling three-pointers. But you can see a situation in which he doesn't really have to, you know, he doesn't have to do a lot. Now, in pace-up games or plus matchup games this year, he's been very productive, but he can show a 20-point floor, and he will absolutely crater you at 6,800 if he goes for only 20 points in this game. So, more attempts, definitely more attempts recently, you know, 10, 12, 15 attempts. You kind of like that for him, but, you know, I don't know. He will pop with unsustainable numbers of steals and in unsustainable numbers of threes because, you know, he's not going to hit five threes a game. He's going to take a ton of threes a game, but he's not going to shoot 60% from behind the arc, you know, all the time. But that is the situation that Simmons and Embiid create. You have to pay attention to the paint because of those two. So he's going to be shooting a ton of threes all year long. So I like him a little bit more on DraftKings at 6,300. Power forward, not great in this price tier. I'm going to be honest with you. This price tier is not. And by the way, I know Bob Cove is power forward eligible on DraftKings or on FanDuel. So he fits this mold. But on FanDuel, not a lot that I love. I mean, Aaron Gordon has a very tough rebounding matchup with Portland, very athletic front court. You know, we talked about Kristaps. I don't mind LaMarcus Aldridge. I like LaMarcus Aldridge in general. He is a great matchup in the front court with Cat. But after 34 plus minutes last night in a win, Popovich isn't going to give him more than 28 minutes. And so you have a price up LaMarcus Aldridge on a back-to-back on the road against, you know, Minnesota team that Taj is fine. Taj is not going to let him do too much. You know, it's kind of a similar style of play in the traditional power forward. You know, if he gets Cat, you love that, but they're not going to let him score that much. And last night he scored a season high in points, but that was a phenomenal matchup with Dallas, who has really struggled with the front court. Not so much for Aldridge. So I don't know if that's a consideration, but not my favorite. Kyle Kuzma and Thaddeus Young are interesting. I think they're well-priced for the minutes and role that they have. You know, Thad Young on 5,700 on DraftKings is a nice price for a guy who we know will be relied on to shoot and score. I don't know. I mean, other than that, you're probably dropping down into this 5 and 4K tier, which there's a lot to like in that. So we'll talk about that in the value section. Marcus Gasol versus the Pacers. Man, Pacers have been terrible against the center. 21 and 15 allowed. You know, pretty common line, you know, above average production allowed to opposing centers. Drummond went for 20 rebounds. And, you know, Gasol could definitely go for double-digit rebounds here. Now, Jermichael Green is back. That might, you know, hurt the rebounding ceiling. But it's a very, very nice matchup here with Indiana. We've been attacking their front court. It's very similar, by the way, in profile to the matchup with Dallas, right? Just kind of a young, inexperienced front court that doesn't really have the ability to deal with good centers. He had 40 points in Dallas. So I think Gasol is a really nice price. He's a really nice value. The one thing I'm concerned about Gasol, and I'll be straightforward with you guys, the thing I'm concerned about with Gasol is the health of that ankle. I worry that that's part of the reason why he hasn't been scoring a lot recently. That's my biggest concern. And that you've seen the correlation between the, you know, the lack of production and the ankle injury. You know, he went for 38 against Portland, but then he's been in the 30s recently. He hasn't really gone above, you know, those matchups with Dallas were phenomenal. And that was where we were seeing that ceiling. I don't know. I mean, at home this year, he has shown a really, really nice floor of about 33, 32 points. And they're finally back home. They had, you know, a 5-6 game road trip. So they're finally back home, which is good. That I like. I think that's a nice boost for Gasol in this one. Other than that, center value. I'm going value. I'm either going up or I'm going down. Although, I mean, you know, Kevin Love is fine. You know, he should be able to extend a guy like Dwight Howard and cause him problems. So that doesn't bother me. It's not my favorite spot in the world, but it doesn't bother me at all. That's kind of where I'm at with that. Enes Kanter, by the way, still getting tons of run at the center there. Rebound upside. If you like the idea of taking advantage of no Gobert, it's definitely a good spot for Kanter possibly to rack up rebounds. He's been their lead rebounder. Bargain basement, 5K and below. I'll start by saying this. Not a ton of value on this slate. Not a lot of obvious value spots. Maybe a good night to go balanced with your lineups. I don't know. Maybe a good night to go balanced because you're not having there's not a lot of easy stars and scrubs approach. So balance should be the way, you know, try to get yourself a floor. Shelvin Mack could be interesting. He's been getting 20 plus minutes, against Portland. You know, the issue is really that he's not that good and he doesn't really have a ceiling. And so you have to be concerned about that. But if Elf sits for some reason or they're concerned about him not playing, I think that's interesting. TJ McConnell's fine at 5,100. He's not my favorite play on the board, but he's perfectly fine. I think, you know, you could certainly go there as a cheap point guard option. Jerry and Grant, 5,300. He is in a good spot just because there's going to be extra minutes, extra usage on the court. He's been inexpensive. You know, the matchup with Russ and that defense is not that great, and it's not going to take much for Russ to shut down Jerry and Grant, no doubt about it. But you know, that's just not a good spot. I mean, it's hard to get excited about that. French Frank, he should be getting plenty of run as well against Utah. But you get a pace down situation, tough defense, rookie. You add that kind of stuff up and you're not thrilled about it. The one guy I will say that is potentially very interesting to me is George Hill. 3,800, and, you know, he, for the first time in a long time against Washington, played more than 25 minutes. And he shot the ball. And he shot the ball pretty well. He took his threes, which that's the reason you bring him in. You want him to shoot the threes. He ran the point. I just don't know. You know, the matchup with Schroeder is really good. You like that. just don't know whether or not he's going to get the minutes. And Patty Mills is interesting as well. 4,500. We saw him explode last night. You worry about the minutes here in this situation. How many minutes does he get on the back-to-back? That's what you worry about. He, you know, for example, in his most recent back-to-back, Milwaukee to Chicago, he went from 37 minutes down to 20. So you could certainly see him get his minutes limited there. We know that they'll probably cap him at about 28. He played 29 last night, and he shot the lights out, and he had four steals. Like, you hit four threes and you go for four steals and you're going to blow up any game. Four steals is not that realistic, but he did take more shots and he's clearly the better of the 2-point guard options that they have. Dejounte Murray just kind of struggling right now. Add shooting guard. Listen, if you can solve the Batum versus Lamb thing tonight, you're probably going to be in a good situation. The problem that I have there is Nick Batum is back. He's supposed to be limited. Jeremy Lamb is going to be now not coming off the bench. How many minutes is he going to get? You don't really love that situation. I can't really go to it. The one situation that I can go to and trust very much is the situation in LA. I mean, you have JJ Redick and you have KCP / Jordan Clarkson. Love that spot for all those guys. All priced 5K and below. Feel good about all three of them and their production in this spot. It's a plus DVP matchup. They play well in pace-up games. They've been getting minutes. They've been getting production. Their prices are very reasonable. All that adds up to a really, really good situation. I think you can also possibly go with the pair of shooting guards in Cleveland. It's a good matchup possibly for J.R. Smith. Charlotte does allow the three ball. That's the one thing. It's a plus matchup on the wings for Charlotte here. With Nick Batum coming back off that injury, you could see, you know, a decent spot for J.R. Smith. And the thing about J.R. is he's just got to score. He just has to score. I mean, he's going to shoot. But you've seen him score in the last two games, and he explodes for value there. Price is at 4,300. You only still need above 20 points for him, and he's been getting 30-plus minutes. When he gets those 30-plus minutes and he gets some shots up, that's a good situation. You like it when he gets up shots. That's what you want from him. And if he starts to hit some threes, then you're cooking with J.R. Smith. So he's not bad. The same thing for Danny Green. Danny Green has a nice matchup with Andrew Wiggins. I think he's in play for sure. He's a little bit more pricey, though, and I think I'd probably rather attack the Lakers kids than Danny Green just based off the back-to-back situation, not trusting Popovich. At small forward, you got a couple options in the 4 and 5K range. I like Josh Richardson to start. No doubt about it. Josh Richardson, 4,900. Washington's been struggling to guard the small forward. Now, the weird thing about their DVP grade is that, you know, they have a really bad DVP in 29, but they have a good small forward in Otto Porter. The question that I've been wondering about is whether or not that DVP is a result of, and I was trying to figure it out today, and I couldn't quite solve the issue, whether that's a result of Markieff Morris not being in earlier in the season. Now, TJ Warren torched them without Keith. And so you say, okay, Kelly Oubre fell victim to the switch there. He got blown up. That makes sense to me. Oubre, fierce defender, not a great defender. But Keith came back and Harrison Barnes blew them up. Now, let's be very clear. Josh Richardson and Harrison Barnes are not the same player. I mean, Josh Richardson's only 0.65 fantasy points per minute. He gets a ton of minutes. He's well priced, you know, very low usage rate, though. He's not going to score a lot. So you kind of worry about that situation. But I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, goes for 25 fantasy points here, 25 to 30 fantasy points. It's not, you know, competitive game. He can get a lot of run at times. He can, you know, get upwards of 35 minutes. So because they just like the way that this kid plays. I mean, he's really, really useful. I mean, he plays both ends of the floor extremely well. So you just haven't had to see. He's just so hard to project. I mean, 15, 14, 17, 33. You know what I mean? Like, he's everywhere. He is everywhere as far as how much scoring he goes. So, you know, he can be really quiet or he can do a lot of damage. The one other guy is Dario. Super Dario, man, moving into the starting lineup was a phenomenal choice for them. He will probably get 30 minutes. They have been really, really, really good with him on the floor. Now, he struggled in that Clippers game, but whatever. I mean, Embiid and Simmons exploded. And before that, anytime he was getting, you know, getting minutes, he was doing extremely, extremely well. If anything, you know, he just struggled to shoot well in that game. I mean, he took five threes. He didn't make any of them. If he makes two of those threes, you're looking at a much better box score for him. But I wouldn't worry about it. I think that Saric is in a good spot here. The question is how many shots does he get up? And that's really what you want for him. You want him to get up some more shots. And hopefully he will be able to in this situation. He'll be getting about 30 minutes per game. And he's been playing really well alongside Saric and Embiid. So that's a good one. Keep an eye on the Norman Powell injury, because you're going to have CJ Miles and OG Anunoby in there. You also always have the option to go to, Blazers front court. Mo Harkless getting plenty of run in that Blazers front small forward position. Moving on to the power forward, this is where you got to have some. We got some value in here. Okay, now Markieff Morris, interesting. He could possibly get some more minutes. He's been shooting extremely well. He's going to eventually become a starter at the four there. He's still underpriced for what his starter role is going to be. Taj, still underpriced at $4,800. Don't love the matchup in the San Antonio front court, but not a bad spot for him at all. Zach Randolph is fine, too, at $5,000. He's cheap. He has a great matchup. And then, you know, if you want to look at a guy like a Luke Babbitt, I don't mind it, but I think Ersan Ilyasova is coming back. So I think that kind of limits how much interest I have in that matchup. The one guy that I'm paying close attention to is Jeremy Grant. Now, Jeremy Grant, nearly 30 minutes in all of his recent performances. He's been excellent coming off the bench. And can really score. Like he legitimately can do a lot. Like he'll rebound, he'll get assists, he'll get steals, he'll get blocks. So you like the fact that you have a guy who's a value guy who's going to do more than just take shots. But what you really need is Carmelo to sit. Now, if Carmelo sits, it's a phenomenal spot. But even with Carmelo out there in that Chicago game, he went out in that Chicago game and got a ton of run. And he put up 26 fantasy points because in blowout situations, he gets extra run. I mean, they just let him go on the court. That was a great matchup for him. I mean, he had 26 fantasy points, but he only took four shots. He had 26 fantasy points. Why? Because he had four rebounds, an assist, three steals, two blocks. You know, he fills the stat sheet. And so he becomes a really, really useful value play who doesn't have to be dependent on scoring. So you like that a lot. That's the kind of guy who can really pay off. At center, I think it's Dwayne Dedmon. I mean, no doubt about it. We've seen centers against the Kings just absolutely destroy. I really like this matchup for Dedmon. You know, it's interesting. He has been mediocre, but he's had some performances where you really go, oh, wow. I mean, is this what he's capable of? Do they want him to do this? How do they want to use him? He struggled in the New Orleans game. Makes sense. It was Boogie in the brow. Okay. But normally looking at 27 plus 22 plus minutes, that's the concern is how many minutes is he going to get? I mean, he's really only played more than 30 minutes twice. And in a lot of games, he's really not going to play much more than 22 minutes. Now you have Ilyasova back. He's only gotten double digit rebounds three times this year. So you just kind of, he's hard to project. He could go anywhere between 30 minutes and 20 minutes, and that you don't like. If you knew he was going to get 30 minutes, then you would trust him. No doubt about it. That's it though. Oh, by the way, wait, sorry. Two more power forwards. I just totally forgot about these guys. Bobby Portis and Julius Randle, both 5,300, I believe, both coming off the bench, about 20 plus minutes of play for them. Portis has been insane. I mean, he has been just shooting the hell out of the ball. Like, he scored 30 plus fantasy points per game in this, and he has a 26% usage rate coming off the bench. That's just bananas. I mean, that's even more than Tyreek Evans and Jordan Clarkson. So you have there's some meat on the bone there with Portis while he's still slightly underpriced. He certainly is probably going to get more minutes than Randall. Randall has been struggling to get minutes, but he may get more tonight. I'm not really sure. All right, that is it. That is it for me, guys. I'm going to jump over to the lineup section here and real quick throw together a lineup. I know that value section is kind of a whirlwind there, a lot of names. So let me give you guys a sense of kind of what I'm doing with my lineup tonight. Now, there's a couple ways that we can do this. If you want to go fair and balanced, I think that that's smart. I have a possibility here that allowed me to get it's allowed me to get 3 9K players in my lineup, which I kind of like. I kind of like that approach. And then a bunch of 4K starters, 4K guys that I can project pretty easily. So I think that that's an interesting option. So I have an option here where it's Damian Lillard, Kemba Walker, Tyreek Evans, Jordan Clarkson, CJ Miles, and Josh Richardson, who I'm not in love with Josh Richardson. We'll see, but he does get all those minutes. So you like that for sure. The CJ Miles play is dependent on whether or not Norm Powell plays. Like, you can't play CJ Miles if Norm Powell plays because there's just not enough minutes there. But if he doesn't, then you got something. So yeah, sorry. And you could go over to Denzel Valentine maybe at 4,900. He's going to get some extra run here, and probably will be able to get up some extra shots against OKC, where, you know, it's not a good matchup at all. But more usage without a Holiday on the floor that's not bad. Probably has similar range of outcomes as Josh Richardson, to be honest with you. And everybody's healthy on the Heat, so that's kind of why you dock him. And of course, Evan Turner is 4,600. You just don't really trust any. You never trust Evan Turner. And then you go power forward: Dario Saric, Ben Simmons, and center is Andre Drummond. Now, it's very easy to change this up a little bit. You just get, if you wanted to get one of those studs in your lineup, you take Dame and Drummond out, and you possibly spend down at center, maybe to like a guy like a Marc Gasol, and you can upgrade your small forward position to, you can upgrade your small forward to someone. Hold on, let me see this real quick. Someone like a. Oh, sorry. You can upgrade your point guard to Russ and then go down a small forward and put in, another value small forward. You have 4K there to do that. So a couple ways you can approach the slate. Depends on who you want to spend up on, really. The value is always kind of the same. You know, you're going to fall into the same spots for value today. But it depends on what you want to spend up on. That's the real question for you. So go ahead, take a look at it, guys. Hey, good luck in your contest. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. Support the show, please. And we will see you tomorrow with the NFL player breakdown for week 11.